was to commence this evening with hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies? But in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. 1036.
Thank you. We will read together from God's holy word two readings this evening. The first, Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee for ever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The sceptre of thy kingdom is a right sceptre. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favour. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. And now the Song of Solomon, Chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, Chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. As the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall not lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. May God bless those readings of his holy word to us, and may he teach us how to pray. O thou most merciful, kind and gracious, and almighty Lord God in heaven, oh, that thou wouldst give us a sense of thy majesty and thy holiness as we come into thy house. O Lord, we pray that we may come in that right frame of mind, that we may come as sinners, Lord, knowing what we are by nature, taught by thy Spirit. Pray, Lord, that thou would humble us before thee as we enter into thy house. And Lord, we do thank thee for the blessings of thy house. We thank thee, Lord, that we can gather, though sinful, though undeserving. We thank thee for the mercy of the day in which we live, a gospel day. We thank thee for that access in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, we do pray that as we enter into thy house, we may by faith enter into those promises contained into thy word for poor, needy sinners. And we pray, Lord, that each here may know their own sinfulness, that thou wilt teach each soul, Lord, that thou wilt not pass any by, but that thy love and thy grace and thy mercy may be poured forth into each heart. The mercy of being dealt with as a father dealing with his children. Oh, to know that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, Lord, we're poor, fallen creatures of the earth. We pray that each one of us may have our names in that book of life, to be loved with an everlasting love, to know the unspeakable mercy of being found sheltering in that precious blood of Christ. And we do pray then, Lord, that thou wilt leave none of us out and pass none of us by. Oh, do make it the one thing needful with us each, to be made right, to be made ready. Lord, our lives are fast ebbing away. We're hastening on to a never-ending eternity. And we pray that we may be awakened, that each soul may be brought to see the danger and fleeing for refuge to that hope set before. And even this night, oh, a few poor sinners might look by faith and live. Look away from self and look entirely to that finished work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Our hopes built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, Lord, do remember us each. We do beseech thee. And may it be a time of refreshing in thy house. Lord, as a few of us gather round thy table at the close of this service to remember thee. Oh, we do pray that in the breaking of the bread and in the pouring out of the cup, oh, we may know a time of refreshing, that our hearts might be touched. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou would soften our hard hearts. And Lord, we pray that thou grant us those tokens of thy blessing within our hearts, that there may be that confirming of evidences, a stirring up of our hearts, a kindling of that flame. Oh, that it may be as those two on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us in the way? Oh, to have our hearts burning within us as we leave thy house this night. So, Lord, do remember us each, we pray. We think of those unable to be here. Thou knowest, Lord, why and where they are. We pray that thou grant those a home visit, if it could please thee, that they may divide the spoil. There may be a blessing for them, though they have to mind the stuff and tarry behind. So, Lord, we pray that thou'lt visit them and bless them indeed. And we would think of those who are not here because they have no desire. Oh, we pray it could please thee to quicken their hearts. Leave them not, Lord, to perish in their sins. Leave none of us, Lord, to take it for granted religion. Oh, thinking there's plenty of time, found loitering in the way, Lord, we pray that thou wilt so work in each heart. And any who are here this night with that burden, that exercise, desiring, longing to know their sins forgiven, oh, we pray that thou wilt send them away this night with that burden lifted, that it may be rolled away at the foot of the cross. Oh, that thou wilt give them life, light and liberty. Oh, that thou wilt relieve those burdened and heavy laden, that they may cast their burden upon the Lord. That mountain of sin, oh, may they be brought to place all in thy kind, gracious hands. Lord, we pray that thou art set free those that are striving under the law, those that are striving to make themselves better, those, Lord, that are held fast in Satan's chains. Oh, may the key of promise be seen. Oh, that thou art set them free. Call them out, we pray. And Lord, may the captives rejoice. Oh, to sing that song of redemption. So, Lord, we pray for each. Thou knowest, Lord, each state and case. Thou knowest the burdens, providential and spiritual. I'll be with any with a tomorrow, a next week, things in their way that they know of, appointments in their diaries, mountains looming before them. Oh, to hear that voice saying, I will make all my mountains away. Lord, we pray that thou strengthen others like Caleb, who said, under the influence of thy spirit, give me this mountain. So, Lord, strengthen each. Lord, with the untrodden steps of our lives before us, however long or short, may we know strength sufficient for our day. Our shoes to be as iron and as of brass, and as our days, so shall our strength be. Oh, to be found walking in the ways of God, do set us each on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. O Lord, thou knowest the distractions. Thou knowest, Lord, the pitfalls, the hindrances. Oh, we pray that thou art free us of these things. Oh, that we may lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. Oh, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. But oh, we pray it may be Christ revealed, Christ made precious. Oh, Lord, be with any who feel to be walking in darkness, seeking thee, yet finding thee not, seeking direction, yet hearing not thy voice. Oh, we pray, turn and smile if it could please thee. Shine upon their pathway. Lord, we pray that thou art, give them living faith, that we may walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, it's easier to say than to do. Oh, do give enabling grace, that we may truly walk by faith. So help us, we pray. Thou knowest that the day in which we live, a dark and evil day, many distractions, many allurements, many temptations of Satan, the busyness of life, the speed of life. Oh Lord, in all the busyness, Lord, we pray, do remember us, remember the children. We thank thee for the Sunday school and the children thou hast granted to the friends here, and pray thy blessing upon them each. And the Sunday school teachers, Lord, in that labour of love, may the bread cast upon the waters be found after many days. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou art build up the church here, that thou art remember this neighbourhood, thou art gather in. May there be the dead elect scattered throughout this place, and may it please thee to bring them in here. And oh, may the gospel ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit. Remember the churches. Raise up faithful ministers, Lord, to go forth, sent and equipped by thee to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. O Lord, we pray that thou art work in our churches up and down this land and throughout the world. Lord, may thy work appear. We pray that thou pour out thy Spirit upon us, or that there may be that revival in our day, an outpouring of thy blessing, a turning unto thee. Lord, in so much confusion in our country at present, in so much sin and confusion in many things, oh, we thank thee that thou art still on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And thou said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, may we be ambitious in our prayers. May we not limit the Holy One of Israel. May we ever know thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Oh, thou, Lord, canst do abundantly, above all we ask or think. Oh, then teach us how to pray and what to pray for. May there be faith in our praying, faith in our prayers. And oh, we pray that thou get to thyself all the honour and the glory. So help us, we pray, as we seek to worship thee this night. Oh, we pray that thou wilt take our poor prayers, our poor attempts of worship, and oh, may they be perfumed with the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be that sweet-smelling savour, acceptable to the Father. Oh, that we may obtain mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ and find grace to help in our times of need. And Lord, how we need thee now as we turn to thy word, that it may have free course and be glorified, and that thy name might be honoured in all that we do. Do forgive us our sins. Do wash us and make us clean. Or do fit and prepare us each for heaven. And Lord, do land us each safe above. At the end of our days, we ask all these things with the pardon of every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans? 92.
Thank you.
with me to our second reading, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 4. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and the fourth verse. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and the fourth verse. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Well, this morning it was draw me. And that desire, that breathing of a living soul. And when instigated by an almighty hand, when that hand reaches out and draws a soul through the crowd, as that woman who was burdened with her infirmity, having found no help, having spent all much with many physicians and had only got worse and not better, when she heard of Jesus, her desire, if I may but touch his clothes, draw me, draw me. The only doubt in her mind that she may touch. Not doubting the cure, if she could touch, believing that if she did, she would be completely whole. But there's a crowd, and there's they're pressing around. Oh, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Draw me. Oh, how we need, don't we, that drawing hand. You know, that resolve in our heart. Burden. You know, that desire to press through. Oh, I must venture, despite the crowd. You know, I was on the Underground in London the other day, on the Central Line, and this platform and the stairs down to the platform are completely rammed with people. And the train came, and I could see across the crowd as the train came into the station. It was full. And there's this little man next to me on the stairs. And I looked at him, and oh, the urgency. He needed that train. I hadn't such a pressing appointment. The urgency with me wasn't there. But I looked at him, and he vanished. I lost sight of him. And as the train drew out, I saw his face pressed against the train door. You know, he got in. Despite all the crowd, all the bustling, despite his small frame, he needed that train. And he got on that train. Oh, that urgency. Like that woman. Oh, pressed with a sense of her infirmity. That resolve. If I may but touch his clothes. But you know, beloved friends, it's not. And blessed be the Lord, it's not. left to our ability to press through or to reach out. Oh, friends, what a divine favour it is that the Lord draws. He draws a desire, and he puts a desire in the heart of his people, but he doesn't just leave it there. There was an unseen hand that day that reached through that crowd. Oh, and it said, you may touch. And it pulled her through. And she did touch, she must touch. She had to touch. It was for the honour and glory of God and for her real good. And so we have the working at both ends. Oh, if you had to thank the Lord for it. The working of the Spirit of God within you. Prompting, instigating, enabling. Oh, he gives the will. And he gives the grace. And he gives the faith. And he gives all that's needed. So that none of his sheep can ever be lost. Oh, draw me. We will run after thee. The King. The King hath brought me. Oh, she, you know, that woman, thy faith, said the Lord Jesus, hath made thee whole. Oh, but, you know, if she was here this evening, to give her little testimony before us, oh, she'd say this, I know she'd say this, the King hath brought me. He's done it. It's all to his praise, all to his honour and glory. The King hath brought me. He drew me. He made that way for me. The King hath brought me into his chambers. You know these drawings, the drawings of an almighty God. You know, there's an end. There's a designed end. And it's to be brought into union with him. This book, it's a book of love, isn't it? It has some strange language, you could say. Some high language, some difficult language at times. But there's a beautiful theme, isn't it? The mutual love of Christ and his bride. Oh, that union. Oh, a marriage union. And how there's that mutual love. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. But this love flowing, one to the other. Christ loved his church. Oh, he gave himself for her. Oh, and she, oh, how she loves him in return. And so we have this beautiful book of love. But, you know, my Bible has this written over Psalm 45 that we read. A song of loves. A song of loves. And how the psalmist begins. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. You know, he's felt the drawing power. He's had the witness of it in his heart. That the Lord, God Almighty, the King of Kings, has been at work in the soul of this psalmist. He said, I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Oh, there's there's a gracious effect in the heart of this psalmist. That the King of Kings has been at work in his soul, and it's left a permanent mark. And beloved friends, though it may be many years passing since some of us have had that felt sense of that first love, yet it's left a permanent mark in our hearts. Oh, we're not always living in the moment. We're not always living in the effect of it, the experience of it. Oh, but it's left a permanent mark, a lasting effect in our hearts. There's a testimony left behind that the King has done it. Oh, it's not the power of man. It wasn't any of our doing. Oh, we have to confess it was all of his grace. He drew us. Oh, yes, we may have run, but we don't put any praise on our own running. Oh, we put it all a crown on his head. The King hath brought me. The King hath brought me. He hath brought me. Kings' daughters were among the honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the Queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. You see, as the Lord begins that work and as he continues that work, oh, there's a taking up of that soul's affections and desires. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Oh, this King of Kings will reign. He will, and his bride will be his. We think of the union of Christ and his church. Oh, that marriage union, taking her, despite all her filthiness and all her vileness and all her faults and her sins, yet his love so strong, so intense toward her, that despite all her unfitness and all her unworthiness, oh, he loves her dearly. And he takes her in union with himself. Oh, he raises her up to a sweet hope in himself, a prospect of everlasting life, heirs together and joint heirs with Christ. You know, you think of Boaz and Ruth. And Ruth is gleaning in the field, and all she can hope for at best is a few handfuls of purpose. And a poor sinner goes gleaning in the gospel field. Oh, and what can they hope for? That the Lord will turn and give them a crumb from the master's table, something to feed on, something from his kind hand. But as she's gleaning, she finds favour in his sight. Who would have thought that one day that poor gleaner, who felt to be the outcast of all the gleaners, the lowest of the low, the least deserving to be in the field, should one day be an owner of it through Boaz and her marriage to him. Oh, then, the prospect, the king hath brought me into his chamber. For what? Oh, he loves her. He loves her. He hasn't brought her in to chastise her, to tease her, to mock her and to turn her out. Oh, that love. You know, friends, you may be permitted a glimpse of a great monarch, the queen maybe, and you may have the favour to get a glimpse of her in the flesh. But what about how few are favoured with a personal audience with her? Let alone to go into the palace. But here, oh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And can your poor soul raise its expectation this high, that not only are you favoured and privileged with an audience with him, to hear his voice, to find him doing things in your life for your good, on your behalf, to know that he notices you and he knows you by name, but more, that he greatly desires. Oh, and that he not only will give you that audience with him, but there's to be an entrance into the palace, and more, into his chamber. Oh, that's reserved for his queen. We think of that great love. Oh, can we question his love toward us? If we're ever to get a glimpse of that, the king hath brought me into his chamber to pour out upon me all his love, to fill my heart with all his love, so that it is overflowing. The king hath brought me into his chamber. And beloved friends, oh, that sense of what it costs to do just that. I was talking to a friend a week or two ago, and he witnessed the passing of a dear mother into glory, and that good hope through grace, a good end she made to be with Christ, which is far better. And he said to me, he said, oh, that I might be just found in heaven, that I might just creep in, I might just be in and not out. That's my desire, that I might just be inside and not out. I feel so undeserving. I think looking at his own mother and her walk and conduct, and feeling himself to come short of that. Oh, he said, but just to be in the gate, inside, not utterly cast out. You know, and I thought as we parted, I drove away, and I thought, oh, well, you know, there's none that are just inside. Although we may feel to be the unworthiest of the unworthies, and we can't raise up our expectations to be more than just creeping in within the gate, yet, beloved friends, when a soul is washed, and when a soul is cleansed from all sin, it matters not what the starting point was. You take two cars to get them washed. If they're both washed clean, they're washed clean. Doesn't matter whether one went there clean and one went there filthy. Once they're both washed, they're clean. Oh, and there's no just creeping into heaven. There's an abundance entrance into heaven. Oh, there's an abundant entrance into heaven through the merits and the finished work of the Saviour. The King hath brought me with his precious blood. The King has brought me, and he's washed me, and he's made me fit to be his bride. Though in myself I feel not fit, yet in him, washed in that precious fountain that's opened for sin and for uncleanness, every soul, no matter how vile and black, that is plunged in that fountain, oh, they all come out completely and utterly cleansed, perfectly cleansed. Not a hint of stain is left behind. And as the daughter's brought forth, she's in a raiment, the king's daughter. Now you say, can I be found one of these? The king's daughter? She's all glorious within. Oh, in that palace, oh, she shines in all the glory. In the raiment of fine needlework, the sinner standing washed in the blood of Christ, clothed with that raiment of his providing, oh, how she shines, how she stands, how rightly she stands. She can hold her head up high. Oh, she has nothing to be ashamed of. She may have felt in her former life to be ashamed of herself, but now, oh, in Christ Jesus, in heaven at last, oh, she has no shame. No shame at all. She stands. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Oh, the king hath brought me into his chambers. Oh, with that finished work at Calvary. You know, we must be careful, mustn't we? Those of us who have a good hope through grace, oh, that we may not lower in our own view the power of the blood of Christ. Oh yes, we may feel to be unworthy. We may see so much sin. We may see at times so little evidence. But friends, we're in the body of sin. And all these things are to pass away. Oh, but faith could lay hold of that, oh, that prospect of heaven. That faith could raise its expectation. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, in 802, "And did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed, the purchase of that precious blood must needs be rich indeed. God's wisdom would not pay for toys so great a price as this. 'Tis godlike glory, boundless joys, 'tis unexampled bliss. Saints, raise your expectations high. Hope all that heaven has good, the blood of Christ has brought you nigh invaluable blood. Oh, to then view the blood of Christ, how effectual it is to cleanse from the deepest of sins. Oh, if your heart, your soul, your faith could view heaven and see the saints of God in heaven. Oh, and see them, that great cloud of witnesses, the many souls, all trophies of his grace. Oh, they're all jewels of his crown. Some of the vilest, some of the weakest, some of the most fearful, some of the most timid, yet all brought to see themselves as such, and found looking to him and placing their everlasting hope of heaven in his hands, being brought to lay their souls in his hands, and pleading that name, the name of Jesus. Oh, no matter what their background, their failings and their faults, they all found him to be faithful to his word, and they pleaded that name, and they pleaded that precious blood, and they found it to be that perfect cure. And now in heaven, oh, they're with him, not as second-class citizens. There's no standards in heaven. Oh, it's saints in heaven, worshipping and praising God forever and ever. And they're all at the same level. They're pure, they're holy, and they're beyond reproach. And they know nothing but joy and everlasting bliss. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers with that desire, that there may be that consummation of the marriage, that he may pour out all his love. And with it, what flows from it? What is the result of it? A union that cannot be broken. Oh, a union that cannot be broken. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Thinking of that drawing, John, in the Gospel of John, we have this: all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All of them. No matter how sinful and vile. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, he's made attractive to them. Oh, he's made to be the one thing needful. Christ is made precious in the want of him, and Christ is made precious in the finding of him. And in that drawing, he draws them from here and from there, out of this sinful life and out of that, and draws them to himself for cleansing, for pardon, and for forgiveness. He, the King, hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. With gladness, said the psalmist, and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the King's palace. And so when a soul has a sense of this, it's just a sense, it's just a touch of it. There's a taste of heaven, a foretaste of it. As he's lifted from the dunghill, as he's set among princes, as his expectation has been raised, to this prospect of heaven at last, so comes forth the rejoicing and the praise. And what can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The love of Christ constrains. The love of Christ compels. The love of Christ, oh, it makes his people willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And as the power of redemption and the blood of Christ is applied, and their soul is given freedom and liberty and life and love, so with it comes willingness. Willing to take up the cross and follow. Willing to sacrifice. Willing to separate from friends or former past acquaintances. Willing to turn their back on their past life. Willing to leave those former sins. You know how we live in a day when much religion is willing to be saved and safe at last, and would welcome the blood of Christ to save them from their sins. But are they willing to give up those former lusts and sins, to be washed in and have that, all that water, the blood and the water, the blood of Christ, but what about the water to dampen and to put out the rage of sin? We see much, don't we, of this religion, where they're happy to go to chapel in the morning and happy to go into the world in the afternoon. Oh, may we know the water and the blood, not just made willing to take up the cross, but oh, the true heir of God, he's willing, more than willing. He detests those former sins. Oh, he mourns over them. And at times when maybe his heart goes a little toward him, how in his right mind he hates it. Oh, this made willing then, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. There's no grounds of rejoicing in self. Oh, there's no grounds of rejoicing, be glad in anything they've done, but in, oh, in him, there is their rejoicing. It's what Christ has done. It's his life, not mine. Although you may be brought to do some wonderful things in Christ's name here below, but it's not that that's your rejoicing, and that's not your hope, and that's not the ground of your acceptance. It's what Christ has done. There's the room for rejoicing. There's the ground for hope and for real gladness. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Well, in our right mind, we remember. But beloved friends, at times we get taken up with things. We get busy. Oh, at times we have a little pride in our hearts. We're not always in this right place. You know, the Lord knew the frailty, the heart of his people. He knows that we are but feeble flesh. We think of that great love, that the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And we, at the close of this service, you know, we follow that ordinance, an ordinance where we seek to remember him. You know, it's our sad state and case that We need these times to set apart ourselves. But we need more than that. You know, we have the ordinance, we have the monthly gathering around the table, but don't we need more than that? Oh, don't we need another sense of that entering into his chamber? You know, as we meet around the table, we want more than just the outward sign. Or don't we want our hearts to be touched? Love divine to be touching our hearts. Oh, that love of Christ, the obedience of Christ. Oh, his love, his precious blood. This is what we need, isn't it? Draw me. With a few of us this evening, is it not? Draw me, Lord, to Calvary. Draw me to the foot of the cross. Oh, that I may view mercy streams in streams of blood. Just draw me, Lord, just for a few moments before Monday sets in and another busy week. Lord, another month of my life to live battling and toiling. Oh, give me a touch. Give me a glimpse. Give me another taste. Oh, bring me into the banqueting house. Oh, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh, is that our desire this evening? That his banner over us, we might meet under the shadow and under the influence of his love. Oh, that it may be love drawing, love constraining, and love flowing as we sit at his table. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth a smell thereof. Lord, may our souls give off that sweet fragrance of worship and praise as we sit at the King's table this evening. And those of you who leave at the close of this service, oh, may you be found with that desire. Lord, draw me, even me. Lord, raise up my heart. Lord, so work in my life that I might know thee, whom to know is life eternal. The Lord said, didn't he, in John chapter 10, speaking of himself as the door. But I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life. Oh, what a lovely thing that is. That I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day, which were for the FGEA, amounted to £3,000, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 404. Our Saviour alone, the Lord let us bless, who reigns on his throne, the Prince of our peace, who evermore saves us by shedding his blood. All hail, Holy Jesus, our Lord and our God. 404.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.